Hello, my name is Ben.
My name's Andrew.
And we are your hosts of the Too Vague podcast this week. One word, two hosts, stories, trivia, and video games.
That's right.
My special guest today, my co-host, my friend, my partner in crime, the CEO, CFO, CEO?
I'm both the CEO and the CFO of Partly Robot Industries.
Okay.
And sole employee. No, wait. There's no employees. I'm just the sole proprietor.
Oh, okay.
Better for taxes if I'm not an employee.
How the sausage is made.
I think so. Just to piggyback onto the old, TurboTax game review we did.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, what's going on with you? But by the time this comes out, you will have been probably here and gone with your zine fest thing that you're doing in Tucson. So you can pretend like how did it go, Andrew?
It was a really great time, you know. Got to meet a bunch of people, get back in touch with some other people I met last year, traded some stuff.
Right.
Doing the networking, rubbing the elbows, building my empire. Some successful new merch items, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to thank you for that. I wanted to thank you for making those buttons. That's really cool.
The buttons, it's pretty cool, yeah.
Based on the Equivocate episode.
The Equivocate episode, yeah.
I had a thought to maybe put classic instead of just classic, insinuating that cup of whatever that was something else. But seeing as how we're both from the 80s, I think it makes sense.
Yeah, and then I haven't yet dropped a t-shirt design based on that.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll figure that out.
I don't know if I should. We'll figure that out. We got to get the lawyers talking about that. Yeah.
I put you in touch with a friend of mine, Jeff.
Yeah.
Who credits me for exposing him to mech games, by the way, because I had a Mech Warrior game that we played on my Commodore 64 and he was fascinated by it. Talk to you about doing merch stuff because he's been doing this for quite some time.
He gave me a raft of information that I still have yet to look at really closely and figure it out, but it was super helpful.
That's awesome. I'm hoping to get him on the show at some point. Well, this is kind of a funny story. There's a picture of us where he's wearing an Easter basket on his head for some reason, and I have this bowl head haircut kind of thing, which is definitely going to be the cover, I'm pretty sure. But a silly story where one time he and my brother were out skateboarding and Adam and I were, as you did in the 80s, mom had to go somewhere on a small trip or something. So we were in charge of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. There was a girl, this girl, Jen, who was in high school.
Was a girl person. Yeah.
She kept on asking me for computer help. Right. Help with computers in computer class.
I was like, you look like you know what a computer is.
Yeah. What gave it away? The glasses or the Commodore 64 at home? But anyway, she came over and there was something. We were sitting on the couch and just her and I in the apartment and something was happening. There was probably a kiss coming. And then Adam and Jeff come in the door and ruin everything. Oh, well. Probably for the best.
Probably. I don't know.
Who knows?
Usually I ruin those moments for myself.
Yeah, usually I do too.
what is that?
Why are you so close? What's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, those are very nice lips. But anyway, so you got a lot of information. That's really cool.
Yeah, I know. It's cool. So I'll have to see if I want to reconfigure some of my merch avenues.
Yeah. And here's the thing. With my little hobby, if I can contribute to your bottom line at all, you being a good friend of mine, have at it, man. Because, I mean, it's something that I just enjoy doing as a hobby. But if you can make a little money, make a little scratch, as they say, go ahead and do it.
Yeah. You know, my bottom line is really that what I do is I enjoy doing it. And that's why I like making stuff.
Right.
So, and that's the thing about the zine fest kind of stuff is there's just as much trading of stuff going on as selling. And so, yeah, the last one I did, I honestly think I spent more money than I actually got stuff in trade, but I had a great time. And
like the Blues Brothers when they posed as the good old boys.
Well, they got out alive.
We like both kinds of music, country and Western.
Yep.
It's one of my favorite Blues Brothers lines.
God, there's so many good lines in that movie.
It's true. And a lot of car crashes.
Oh, it was like the most car crashes for a while.
Anything else going on?
I managed to get through a week of my regular job without losing my mind, so that's good.
That's a win.
I think I'm actually developing some mindfulness skills and being able to separate myself from the chaos. Be like, oh yeah, this chaos is going on, but it can be outside me. It doesn't have to be inside me. And
I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Like, because it doesn't, you know, if I get upset about it and get worked up, it doesn't help the situation at all. It doesn't help me. And I'm slowly learning how to work on that. And, you know, reading a book about managing my stress.
That's good. Self-improvement.
It's got a really radio-friendly title called Guffing Up Your Stress.
So, oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to reverse that. But yeah, your stress.
Unscrew your stress.
Isn't it a New York Times bestseller? Because I've heard a lot of people talk about it.
There is a whole bunch of, what am I saying? Yeah, people like to throw the F word in titles, but another one of my connections, a friend on the internet, Dr. Faith Harper, is the one who, like, she writes a lot of books, and one of them that she wrote was called Uncuff Your Brain.
Okay.
Which, that spawned a lot of further titles.
Yeah.
That she keeps writing them, so.
Dr. Faith Harper, huh?
She's fun.
Would she be on the show?
She might.
Because that would be an interesting topic, stress.
She does all kinds of, like, all different variations of mental health concerns, you
That's
know?
Very, yeah, that's really cool. Very neat. Well, what I've been doing, do you want to know what I've been doing? Or
what have you been doing? Yeah.
I've just finished a game called Hi-Fi Rush, which I will talk to Star, who will be in town for the festival, the zine thing.
The Zine Fest that will be in the past after this one airs, but...
It already happened, but it's in the...
It already happened. We're time traveling.
This low-budget time travel thing is exhausting.
It's really... It's low. Yeah.
I mean, I have enough trouble with daylight savings time, and I don't even live in a state that has to deal with it. So she'll be in town, and she's going to be on the show. I'm excited about that. Talk about the word beat. Which is what our...
Beet.
Yeah.
Like, roasting beets is a pretty good way to prepare them.
There's a lot of different definitions for beet. We could very easily tie it to Lucas Egan, too, with his beet. But I think we're going to go with the more traditional borscht-centric show.
Borscht, yeah. Borscht-centric, yeah.
No, it's not going to be borscht. There are not many borscht video games. Ukrainian... I completed that. I'm very conflicted about it. Hi-Fi Rush was one of these games that was the first hands down quote unquote success of the Xbox as far as a lot of people were concerned. It's one of these ones that was from Bethesda put it out after having the position that Bethesda games are only going to come out for the Xbox recently. And I don't know if this has anything to do with all the layoffs and stuff, but they recently announced 4 titles coming to the PlayStation 5. So they were exclusives on the Xbox, but now they're coming to the PlayStation 5. And this is one of those ones that came to the PlayStation 5, Hi-Fi Rush. Like I said, we'll talk about it on Star's show.
Okay.
But I also started playing this really creative and cool game called Pacific Drive.
Right. You're showing me that.
It's a first-person perspective driving / survival game. And it does remind me sort of the Southern Reach trilogy, which you talked about on a previous episode. That's Jeff Vandermeer, right? That's
Jeff Vandermeer. Yeah. The author of the Southern Reach. Yeah. That is like just a mental voyage in itself. So, and I can see how that kind of atmosphere would really translate itself really well to a game.
Did you watch both videos or just the one?
I just watched the trailer one.
Okay. Yeah, because the other one gets into a lot of the game mechanics and stuff.
No, wait, I think I was looking at the game mechanics one.
The other one gets a little bit more into the story of trying to sell the story more than it is the game mechanics.
The exclusion zone. Yeah, that was an interesting. There were some of the mechanics in there that I thought looked, you know, for the car, there was the little jar of repair putty.
Yeah.
I was like,
I mean, that's it. You just throw some repair putty on it. It is still a video game, but you're in
a video game.
You're in a zone where physics and all things defy reality. So, you know, you can suspend disbelief there.
Oh yeah. There could be a repair buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the best character ever, the Herbie-esque.
The station wagon.
The station wagon. I haven't gotten to a point where I've had to diagnose its maladies and why it's acting up. But it does do things like the tire will pop off when you close a door. Or, you know, like as you go on through the story, the car develops a personality. The family truckster from the Vacation series, National Lampoon's Vacation. And then it has sort of a interior that was very much like the DeLorean time machine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's customizable. It's got all sorts of cool sort of, you know, you can customize it to whatever way you want.
You want to be able to customize your station wagon.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it does look like the family truckster. So, doesn't it?
It's very evocative of the family truckster. And I'm sure that's not an accident.
Hey, Russ, stop eating the family truckster. Thanks, Audrey. Yeah, that whole sequence with the video games. Tie it in. So that's what I've been doing is playing that game.
Right on.
I was going to go the route of Unicorn Overlord, but I decided that I'm trying to get a guest, Tunny, that we had previously.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try and get her on the show so we can talk about the word localization, which is different from translation, kind of discuss that. So
okay. Yeah. Now, you were telling me about that. It's important.
Yep. And then I have a sort of a mini game review that I'm going to reserve for the end of the show when we talk about video games. So that's what I've been doing.
Awesome.
What do you say we get into the definition of the word this week?
We're doing a doozy, right?
Yeah, we're doing a doozy. We're doing
one of my 45 cent words or whatever.
Yeah, it's going to be
College words, right?
Not exactly. Maybe if you were trying to be health conscious, it could be.
My preschool was at a community college campus. Yeah. I'm confused about what college is supposed to be.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I just remember Jamba Juice.
Jamba Juice.
Did you ever drink Jamba Juice?
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to drink the wheatgrass every morning. That was kind of my morning ritual before I would go to work. I would have the wheatgrass, which tasted like freshly
mown lawn. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes, the word this week is the word, the very collegiate juice.
Juice.
Oh, you know what? Before we get into juice really quick, we talked about the Magic 8-Ball on your last show.
Oh, right. Yeah. The equivocation inherent in the Magic 8-Ball. Yeah. Did you run some stats on that?
Well, I tried to. I need some help.
Yeah.
Because okay. This is, I'm going to run down there are 20 answers.
Yeah.
So that would make it a dodecahedron?
Icosahedron.
Icosahedron.
The dodecahedron has 12 faces. 20.
Gotcha.
It's still one of those platonic perfect solids. So
made up of triangles, right? So
this one's made up of equilateral triangles. So that's what makes it a perfect solid. Yeah.
Yep. Don't be obtuse. Triangle humor. Anyway. Yeah. So here are the answers. There are 20 answers on the Magic 8-Ball. So if you have a pencil handy, you might want to keep a tick sheet.
Jesus.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Just a tick sheet.
Oh, I know. I'll do a tick sheet. Yeah. So I'll be like, you run it down and I'll be like, is that a waffly answer? And I'll tick.
Okay. So here we go. This is kind of interesting too. There are 10 positive answers, 5 non-committal answers, which is what I would assume would be the equivocation ones, and then 5 negative answers. But I was reading through some of the positive answers, and some of those seem like they're equivocations, which is why I wanted you to do a tick sheet.
Yeah.
So here we go. We'll start with the first one. It is certain. The second one is, it is decidedly so. The third is, without a doubt. Yes, definitely. You may rely on it.
You may rely on it. See, I'm going to, okay, I'm giving that a tick mark because you may rely on it.
Exactly.
It depends on the intonation, really.
Yeah. It says you may rely on it. There's no comma in there, if that makes a difference. And then there's, as I see it, comma, yes.
That is from a certain point of view. Get back to Ben Kenobi there. Yeah.
And then we got most likely, outlook good. We've got yes. And then we have signs point to yes.
Signs point to. Signs point all kinds of places, yeah.
These are probably, you can phone all these in, but reply hazy, try again, which is one of the favorite ones.
It's, yeah.
Especially when you get the same one multiple times in a row and you just curse the magic eight ball.
Come on.
Oh, here's another one. Ask again later. It's like, shut up.
Ask again later. Yeah.
Better not tell you now.
But
cannot predict now. Concentrate and ask again. There are negatives. Don't count on it. My reply is no. My sources say no. Outlook not so good. And very doubtful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's add up those ticks and see what sort of a percentage we got.
Oh, it's pretty bad. Yeah, I feel like there were only like five like firm, solid, this is what it is answers from the Magic 8 Ball, I think.
So we're talking 75% equivocation on the Magic 8 Ball.
75% equivocation or just sort of like, eh. Yeah, reply hazy, eh.
You may rely on it. What does that mean?
You may rely on it. Steve won't, but you may, you know, like I've met you. You're very gullible. You may rely on it. I don't know. Yeah. What's the magic bait ball saying? Yeah.
So if there's only a 25% chance you'll get a direct answer from the magic eight ball anyway. So that's probably not the best way to get answers.
Or if what you're looking at is like, you know, using it as a tool to just give yourself the kick in the butt to do the thing you want to do anyway, then fine. Which I think most divination tools, that's how they work. They just like...
That's true.
Help you just sort of say, you know, you like, either you agree with it or you don't agree with your thing. And then that makes you feel more solid in your decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're like, reply hazy, well, the hell with this eight ball, I'm going to do it, you know.
Yep.
It just sort of helps you, if you're like on the fence on a decision, it helps you, whatever's inside you, respond to the question, I think. Yeah, the eight ball itself, I don't think has a lot of magic. Aside that which we assign to it ourselves.
Invented in 1946 by Albert C. Carter and Abe Bookman, currently manufactured by Mattel, possibly inspired by the gag in the 1943 Stooges film, You Nazi Spy. So I'm not familiar with that one, so I don't know. But
not too familiar with the when the Three Stooges were hunting down Nazi spies. That's
but with a magic eight ball even. Although originally sold as a paperweight, the Magic 8-Ball would remain popular for several decades as an office toy and a children's toy.
It's a nifty paperweight, yeah.
What's in there? You know what the juice inside the Magic 8-Ball is?
What's the juice in the Magic 8-Ball?
It's alcohol and blue coloring. Why don't they have a drink called the Magic 8-Ball?
they might.
That seems like a cool cocktail idea concept.
I mean, yeah.
Oh. It says try again later, so buy another one.
The magic is whether or not the drink actually has any alcohol in it.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
25% chance that it does.
Exactly. Well, I mean, if you talk about the positives, negatives, and we do go off on the 10, right. 50% chance it does, and 25% chance it's noncommittal, might. We won't argue semantics
here. We're not mixologists. We're triviologists.
Well, let's get into the juice.
Let's get to the juice.
The juice. No wheezing the juice.
Classic line from Encino Man.
Encino yeah. Man.
Encino Man. Pauly Shore's big screen debut.
Who is the other guy? Oh, Brendan Fraser. Yeah.
Brendan Fraser. Academy Award winner. Brendan Fraser.
Recent Academy Award winner. Yeah.
Yeah.
He responded to me once on Twitter.
He didn't
respond to me. He liked something that I put in as a comment. So
I thought
that was kind of cool. There were no blue check marks back then, so I don't know if it was actually him or not.
I don't know.
Juicy juice. Juicy juice. Remember juicy juice?
Juicy juice.
It was like sweetened juice, right? Wasn't it? It wasn't
something
even
like that. Yeah. It was food coloring and sugar water and a splash of juice.
With a splash. Contains 8% juice.
Yeah, probably.
So, strap in, Andrew. We got a relatively large one here with a lot of informals.
Oh, informal. Yeah, I can see how that
would probably happen. More informals in this one than it have been in most of our previous.
Yeah, because it's a lot of... Oh boy, my Google machine went straight to Juice Newton. I want.
Well, Well, we'll talk about her a little later.
Oh, show me a location of a nearby Orange Julius. No, I want the definition. Okay.
You know what? Orange Julius. I don't know what they put in there, what that powder is, but I used to love them when I was a little kid. And I know it didn't contain much in the way of juice, but they were tasty. This like creamsicle-y sort of... I haven't had one since I was way younger, though. So the word juice in Swedish... Juice.
Oh, juice?
In yeah, Swedish, yeah. It's juice in Swedish. A liquid obtained from or present in fruits or vegetables. A drink made from fruit or vegetable juice. Let's not get confused about the what is prune juice argument yet.
Oh.
Well, wait.
Oh,
do you have any strong feelings about prune juice?
It's been helpful in the past. But
yeah, okay,
all that right. Might be all no, I want to say. I don't know.
Yeah, say no more. And then the second noun is the liquid that comes from meat or other food when cooked, a fluid secreted by the body, especially in the stomach, to help digest food. A person's vitality or creative faculties.
Oh, the juice. Yeah,
that sounds more like an informal. But maybe it's not.
I mean, it's a idiomatic, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I see. Why isn't that in the informal? Because then I see there's an informal category.
Yeah, there are lots of informals here. So we've got, going down the list, electric energy. We've got gasoline. Influence or power, especially in a political or business context.
Yeah.
We've got alcoholic drink. We've got anabolic steroids.
That's right. The player's juicing up. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we've got a liquid containing nicotine and flavoring that is used for vaping devices.
Oh, vape juice.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
Here comes the 21st century with the crazy kids today, like, and they're vaping.
The kids, like, yeah. We used to have Kool-Aid. Now it's vape juice. We just put poison in Kool-Aid back in the day. Well, okay, we didn't. One guy did. And it was Flavor-Aid. It wasn't actually Kool-Aid. Anyway, it was
yeah.
Generic version.
So it was a similar to the Tylenol scare in the Chicago area? Or was it?
I remember the Tylenol scare. No, the drink the Kool-Aid thing, it was the People's Temple down there in Guyana.
Reverend
James Jones.
Gotcha.
They did a oopsie and killed a congressman. And they're like, well, we all need to... Everybody needs to drink this special juice because the army's going to come for us. I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking, but that was a dark time back then.
Oh, yeah.
How do we get out of the 70s alive? I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, so we get the verb, which is basically the verb portion of the noun, which is to extract the juice from fruits or vegetables, like you're juicing an orange.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And then also, again, informal... Taking anabolic steroids or other performance-enhancing drugs is juicing. So you've got the juice, which is the steroids, and you've got juicing, which is using that. Phrases. I don't think I've ever used this phrase before, but it says, juice up, liven something up.
I'm going to juice it up.
Yeah. Give it a little.
Because we're going to use it now.
Juice it
Let's
up.
Let's juice up this show.
Juice. A friend needed help juicing up the fashion show.
You know what I don't see here is a C. Orenthal James Simpson.
No. Oh, yeah. We
do. No, sorry. Too soon. I'm sorry.
Is it?
Too soon. It's too soon to talk about OJ.
If the juice doesn't fit, you must acquit.
If it wasn't for that trial, we wouldn't know what a Kardashian is.
This is true. But also, like, I mean, he was an amazing football player. I mean, let's just say it. Also, he was Nordberg in the police
naked
squad.
Gun.
The Naked Gun. Yes.
Yeah, police. Yeah.
Heroin Frank. I'm going to need a little bit of time for that. But anyway, so the use of the word juice over time. Peaks and valleys from the 1800s all the way to now, but it's...
I don't understand that. Like after 1950, people didn't want to talk about juice for a while.
No.
And then.
No. And then all of a sudden.
And then in 2000, we're like, okay with juice. I don't understand this graph.
But. Well, also, you had the 50s. You had a peak in the 50s, you know, and then you had your trough and there.
Probably bottomed out in the 1970s. That's what we're talking about.
Probably because of juice cleanses.
Because they invented Tang.
Yeah. Maybe that's. Tang.
You remember Tang?
Space juice.
The drink the astronauts took to the moon.
Exactly. No scurvy on the moon, I'll tell you.
Should have left it there. I don't know. No, I liked Tang.
Did you?
I did. When I was a kid, I liked it.
Hmm.
But I would mix it up extra strong.
Because you could do that, right? Yeah. I just liked regular juice. Like Tropicana with just a little bit of pulp in it, you know?
Mm.
I think they received complaints that there wasn't any pulp. At some point, because Tropicana used to have no pulp in it, or at least I seem to remember that. And then your other pulpy orange juices came along, and
that's a weird thing. Some people want the pulp in the orange juice, and some people don't. And
right,
I feel maybe that's a whole different episode.
Maybe
pulp.
Do you want to know the etymology?
The etymology of juice? Yeah, tell me where that comes from.
Latin through Old French. So Middle English via Old French from Latin juice, which is broth or vegetable juice, yeah. Which I guess is sort of the au jus.
Au jus. Oui.
Au jus. Is that how you say?
Au jus.
Au jus.
Au jus. Yeah. That's yeah.
Is au jus. That with juice?
Yeah. With the juice. Yeah.
Okay. I like a good au jus with a French dip, maybe.
Yeah.
Meat juice. Mm.
Meat juice.
Yep.
You know, we went to a French restaurant last night. Was it totally French or it was in Portland, but you know.
Okay. Was it a bistro?
No, it was a restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Restaurant. But I had some very rich food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of jus. Lots of jus.
Lots of jus. Spare not the jus. Did you have any escargot?
No, we didn't. We decided not to. No, it wasn't on the menu there at that place.
Okay, because I love escargot.
Escargot. I never had escargot.
Oh, when I was a little kid, my parents thought they needed to culture me. Well, I mean, I guess. Mm. But my parents used to go to this French restaurant, and I think it was like the first or second time I went there. I don't remember going, right? But I think it was like two or three. And my father had a problem with my mother letting me wander around the French restaurant talking to people.
So, I mean, but that's what we did at the time.
Yeah, just, I mean, that's the thing.
The families would go to a restaurant, the kids would just wander around.
It was more because he didn't want to bother the patrons. I think that was more the problem. But all the patrons liked the little kid in the French restaurant saying hi to them, so it was okay, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was called Jacques. That was the name of the restaurant. It was on
Jacques.
The top of a building, and it had like a retractable roof. Mm. So it was like open air. But it was really very popular back in the early 70s.
Yeah, we keep going back to the 70s, yeah. And the weird lack of juice.
But that's because all the French restaurants cornered the market in jus.
Yep.
Jus.
That's...
Yeah, just
that's what happened.
So one of the things I had there that I love was escargot, which is snails, garlic butter.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a kindergarten activity where everyone told the class what their favorite food was, put it on a list and discuss it. And mine was escargot. And it's like, what's escargot? And it's snails. And
how different is it from like oyster shooters, you know?
Well, it's not raw.
Yeah.
It's not like you're waiting for them to come out in the rain and then eating them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did you ever have... Oh, you lived in Arizona your entire life, so you never had snails come out in the rain.
Well, no, we did actually.
Oh, like, okay. Okay.
There's some spots where like they're not very big, but they're little snails with like the conical shells. Like,
right.
There are certain spots where it was damp enough that, yeah, they would... come out and like cover a wall.
It would just be like they would appear and be like, wow, where the hell were they? You know, that shell's kind of big.
I live in slug country now, so
slug country. Who doesn't like slugs?
You know,
are you prejudiced against slugs?
They're a little more juicy than I they don't have the nice crunchy shell. You can't You can't interact with them without coming direct contact with slug juice.
And Juicy, like we talked about off air at one point in time, okay for fruit, not okay for diapers.
No. Oh boy, there was one this morning.
Oh. Yeah,
yeah, I forgot to mention that, and what I'm up to is the diapers. We'll just say it was a direct-to-bathtub situation.
DTB. Direct-to-bath.
It was like...
We got another DTB here. Start running the water. No snails were harmed.
No snails. No.
Or slugs.
So yeah, you don't want the juicy diaper.
Right. That is juice.
That's juice.
That is
what else can we talk about juice?
What do you think of when you think of the word juice?
When I think of the word juice, you know,
do you think of Beetlejuice or
not usually?
No, I don't either.
But if we say it two more times, he might show up. So I don't know.
This is true.
I heard that they're making a second Beetlejuice movie.
Yes, they had the trailer out.
So now all of a sudden, I'm worried about what would happen if Tim Burton makes a third.
I don't know. I think he should just go back to making the Nicolas Cage Superman movie, and we'll just call it even.
Yeah, that would be all right. Then the Nicolas Cage Superman. I think there was like a mention of that in the Flash movie. I didn't get around to seeing yet.
They made the costume.
I remember seeing pictures of the costume.
Yeah, with Nicolas Cage as kind of looking like a soccer rocker with his mullet.
Yeah, there was a certain 90s Superman era that that was Superman had a mullet for a bit, and then he was like red and blue Superman for a while.
Right.
And then he was dead for a hot minute, but then he wasn't dead, and then there were four of them. I don't know. It's confusing. And Superman's not dead anymore.
He is in the continuity of Kill the Justice League, but...
Oh, it is? Okay, well, I don't know. I really...
The game continuity is different. And plus, there's like, just because you've got... I mean, just your different universes, your multiverse thing that they keep on... saying, oh, we're consolidating, and it's like, oh no, we're expanding it again. Just
I know. Yeah, Marvel. Yeah. I mean, I remember back in the 80s, it was their big maxi series event, the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Oh, and yeah.
Because up until that, there would be like, there's the Earth 2 Justice Society, and sometimes they come to the Earth 1 and help out the Justice League and all that, and then they decided, wow, this has been going on for far too long.
But now it's all back again.
Now it's all back to big old mess, but it's okay. Comic books.
You know, Green Lantern's weakness is no longer yellow, I guess, maybe. What? I don't know.
That was kind of a weird weakness. I mean, Superman's weakness is rocks from his home planet.
And the Earth Sun is what makes him powerful, right?
Yeah, solar powered. You're right. We're not just going to talk about where Superman gets his juice from.
No, I was just about to say that. Did you ever see the movie Brightburn?
The title sounds familiar.
But... Yeah, I think it's James Gunn did this movie.
Oh, I heard about it then. I read about it, but I didn't see it.
Just the if Superman were evil kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how they didn't get sued, but... Whatever. Yeah, I mean, isn't James Gunn now involved with the DC universe too? I mean, who knows?
Yeah, right. He's like, they hired him to try to fix things. They're like, hey, you know how to make a comic book movie. Help us out with where we keep going wrong.
Quite honestly, the big superhero movies, I don't know. I think we're all getting tired of them, aren't we?
Maybe. There's been a lot of them lately. I mean, by lately, I mean in the last 15 years. Is that,
oh yeah,
or maybe 20. Has it been 20 years of since Iron Man came out? I don't know.
For some reason I wanted to say Iron Man came out in 2003. I'm not sure if that's correct or not.
That feels like it might be. I don't really feel like looking it up, but
no, 2008.
So okay, well, 3 kind of looks like an 8 if you don't have your reading glasses on.
This is true.
So
and you squint. Which, by the way, perfect casting, perfect directing, that was the thing that made superhero movies cool again. They were trying to, you know, like the Spider-Mans were okay, right? The Sony Spider-Mans.
The Sam Raimi ones.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were okay. Yeah, but people really loved it. Even my stepmom loved it, which is weird because she's not a superhero movie person. So
they love Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
John Favreau. He's a good director.
That's who it is. John Favreau.
It's interesting. I liked how he like made a couple of Iron Man movies. And then he's like, I'm going to make a really small budget movie about a guy who's a chef and wants to have a food truck. Then he just makes Cubano sandwiches.
Actually, that was a good
sick. It was a good one, but it was like a story within the story, because he's like, I've been doing these big Hollywood superhero movies and I want to do something small and for me now. And I was like, oh, it's his own story. And John Leguizamo's hanging out with him and they're making sandwiches. It was great.
I mean, I was pleasantly surprised by that movie. It's not like one of my top favorite movies, Chef, but it's good.
It's solid, simple. It's one of my two favorite food truck movies.
What's your other favorite food truck movie?
The Van with Colm Meaney. You know, Chief O'Brien.
Yeah, no, I remember him. I remember him on Con Air.
Ooh, getting back to Nicolas Cage.
Oh, wait, I also remember him. He was also in Die Hard 2. He was the pilot.
Was it? Oh.
He died. He crashed the plane.
Oh, man.
Yeah, wasn't really his fault. It was the fault of death from Bill and Ted Go to Hell. That's who that was.
The Bogus Journey, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The guy was death.
Go to Hell was the working title, but then they made him change it for...
Right. But do you think the whole superhero thing is going to run out of juice sometime shortly? Because it just seems the Marvels was kind of this movie that people said was horrible. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I
liked it. Yeah, yeah. I liked the Marvels. But people don't like it when there's a movie that, the dudes aren't the main thing in it, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to.
There's three women that are the main characters, but I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was good too.
It was good. But, I mean, it was, yeah, we can have movies like that. But also, I do think the superhero movies have gotten, they've gotten to a point where it's like, okay, you can make superhero movies like this and you keep doing it. And, well, you're good at it now. Okay.
Yeah.
But they're not really doing much with them anymore. It's a couple hours of having fun. And I think that's what they're supposed to be, but, you know.
Right. But I mean, it's sort of a double standard.
I saw the trailer for the new Fall Guy movie.
Okay. That's interesting.
It's the guy from the Barbie movie and the lady from the Oppenheimer movie. They get together and make a reboot of the Fall Guy. Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. Ryan Gosling plays Colt Seaver and Emily Blunt is Jody, but it's a different last name. And I think they kind of got rid of Howie and traded him up for someone cooler.
Hmm.
But I'm like, I'll watch a Fall Guy movie just because I really hope in the end credits they play the old song.
I can do, 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 but I've been seen with Farrah.
Yeah, that's the one.
And we won't get marked for anything because no one knows the song to Fall Guy other than us. But
I'm the unknown stuntman.
Because that was actually sung by him, right? By
Lee Majors.
Lee Majors, yeah.
He was no longer bionic, but he was still cool.
Yep. We were talking a little bit about how the Beetlejuice. There's two times. I don't know. I mean, how much of a window do you have with that?
I was saying his name three times.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you have to say it consecutively within a period of time. If you give it some time, you're okay. You're safe.
Yeah.
It's not like when I say Winona, 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 and then Winona Ryder appears. And
that's a different story, right?
No, it's it's the ghost of Winona Judd. No, it looks like she's still around.
No, but I think she was really sick or something.
Yeah.
If she's still around, then that's good for her. We're glad you're not dead.
Yes.
No ghosts.
One of my favorite Judds.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, they have as the tagline for the trailer for the new movie. He comes out of the attic model thing and he says, "The juice is loose."
Uh-huh.
Yes.
The juice is loose.
Yeah. Are you familiar with where that came from, though, as far as an advertising slogan?
The juice is loose.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember seeing the ad. Somebody made a bad... The cable TV made the bad joke about the juice is loose at the time.
Right. Yeah, this is one of those things where it's like people can't quite identify where they know it was an advertising slogan.
Yeah.
It is from Starburst.
Starburst, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Starburst, the juice is loose.
Yeah.
Originally known as Opal Fruits.
That was probably the British name, right?
Fruit-flavored soft taffy candy manufactured by the Wrigley Company, which subsidiary of Mars Incorporated, introduced in the UK in 1960. Can you guess what the regular flavors were in the UK in the 1960s?
In the UK, there was quince. There was... No, I don't know.
Blackcurrant.
Blackcurrant.
Blackcurrant was one of the flavors. Flavors spelled with a V-O-U-R-S. Flavors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had blackcurrant, lemon, lime, orange, and strawberry. That was the flavor array for the UK when it was released there. But it was branded Opal Fruits by Peter Phillips, known as Peter Pfeffer at the time, in their factory in Stow, Berkshire. The four original flavors, strawberry, lemon, orange, and lime, were introduced in the United States in 1967 as M&M's, Fruit Chews, and later as Starbursts. So they don't know where the Starburst came from, which is interesting. Maybe it was space race related because it was 1967. So they thought star stuff, right?
Starburst. Maybe. Yeah. That's, yep. My money's on that. That should be a magic eight ball reply. My money's on that.
Yeah, and about that blackcurrant flavor, they combined lemon and a lime to make room for the blackcurrant flavor. So, <you know.
laughs> they got to make room for the blackcurrant.
Anyway, okay. Yeah, so
that's fine. About the blackcurrant flavor, I would actually try that, but
Mamba is the one that I think of as the competition. They were more tropical flavored. It was another one of those taffy fruit sort of chew things.
Yeah, taffy.
I don't like taffy because it sticks, but I mean,
it's too sticky.
But the Starburst had some sort of an ingredient that for some reason it didn't stick like other things, or I don't remember it sticking. I haven't had Starburst in a while.
Yeah, my tooth enamel's gone through too much already.
Cross that off the snack list for Andrew's snack adventures.
No, yeah, well, I mean, I know I could do it for a snack adventure, but don't send me a whole box of saltwater taffy, please.
Personally, I just didn't like it, but...
What's to like? No, I will have a piece every once in a while. Last week, I had my piece for probably this year, so that's fine. If you go to the coast in Oregon, every small town has at least two or three saltwater taffy places.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it, but that's something they do on the coast in Oregon is make saltwater taffy, and they sell it to the city folk.
Okay.
But they also give out free samples, so I had a free sample, and I'm good.
Well, I mean, that's convenient. You don't have to pay. You just go there for your free sample and you're good for the year.
That's it. I just drive out to Cannon Beach, get my one piece of taffy and drive back. Yeah.
You're good for the year. Yep. Before we switch to video games, you had a Juice Newton story.
Juice Newton. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Juice Newton. You know, that song that, just call me Angel of the Morning. Those were big hits. And, so I was familiar with that one because my dad would listen to the oldies station. And that would show up on there every once in a while, you know. And then when I was in high school, I'd get to school really early because my parents would drop me off. And, like, the cafeteria would be open and I'd be hanging out in the cafeteria. And always there'd be, in the one corner of the cafeteria, there'd be, it was Tucson, Arizona. So there was a lot of Latina, Latino, Latinx, whatever the word is now. They'd have the boombox in the corner. And oftentimes they'd be playing sort of a mariachi version of Just Call Me Angel in the Morning. just hear those horns. And just like, it was just a little kind of weird, but
she was one of those country pop crossovers. I mean,
right.
Like one of the early ones. I mean, or one of the early ones I remember, Grammy nominated, I think, for that one.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like a song about, yeah, I was your one night stand, that's okay. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that what the meaning of that song is?
I think so.
I was like, it's all right. You don't need to call me later. I'm just your angel of the morning. It's okay.
Yep.
Not sure how empowering that is, but, you know.
Well, I mean, it is a song.
An artifact from its time, the 1970s, which...
That's true.
Why weren't they talking about Juice so much in the 1970s when they had Juice Newton on the radio? I don't get it.
Oh, hey, that song was in Deadpool.
That makes a lot of sense.
Used for the opening credit montage in Deadpool. I completely forgot.
I haven't watched any of the Deadpool movies, but maybe I should.
Well, I don't know. If you appreciate the comic, I think they did a very good job of emulating the feelings of the comics, where he breaks the wall and he does all this stuff and it's very self-referential. I think it did. He did a good job of doing that. Reynolds, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
But is it a necessary thing? No. But I mean, if you enjoyed the Merc with the Mouth character from the comic books, then you probably should say it, you know.
Okay.
If you didn't enjoy his character, then it's, you know.
You know, I didn't get to know his character because his character was introduced right about the point where I decided I was too cool to read superhero comics. I was like, I'm only reading black and white indie comics by people who live in their parents' basement. And
okay,
that's my dream. And so, I mean, it's all on me.
We're called the Warlock. You gotta call me the Warlock. My favorite Juice Newton song was Queen of Hearts.
Queen of Hearts. That was a good one too. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think was written by someone else. You have Angel of the Morning facts?
Oh, Angel of the Morning was, I think they were hoping that they could get it sung by Connie Francis.
Oh, okay.
But that didn't work. I think so. It was written by somebody named Chip Taylor.
Okay. I know Queen of Hearts was originally performed by Dave Edmonds, Rock Piles. Dave Edmonds, Queen of Hearts is written by Hank DeVito, the pedal steel guitarist in Emmylou Harris's backing group, The Hot Band.
I'm just like, I'm all about pedal steel.
Steel guitars are cool.
The pedal steel is, I would say, is an instrument that provides a sort of a juicy quality.
To his tones. Agreed. It is juicy. Not in the juicy couture way.
No, not like the word juicy on the short shorts, but that juicy couture.
Tracksuits? That's what it was. Velour tracksuits.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, that too.
So Queen of Hearts was originally recorded by Dave Edmonds in 1979, which reached 11 on the UK charts, number 12 in Ireland. But the more successful version was the Juice Newton version in 1981.
So, 1981. Gee, I thought Juice Newton was in the 70s. No wonder. That makes sense. That's my concern about the trough and the use of the word juice in the 1970s. And I'm like, okay, if Juice Newton's like big album was like 1981, then that makes sense. Yeah. Everything holds up.
She was Bob Welch's backing. She did backing vocals on Ebony Eyes, which was from 1977. She did have a...
Yeah, she was in the 70s. Yeah. My theory is a bunch just full of holes anyway.
All the juice has leaked out.
All the juice has leaked out of my theory about about Tang and Kool-Aid conspired to corner the sweetened beverage market in the 1970s. Yeah.
The story of the Spanish version of Angel of the Morning.
Yeah.
My favorite part of that song was the tuba. I like the tuba part.
They just bring the horns, man. There's a whole like vibrant world of Spanish language music, and I only know the tiniest little corner of it.
I remember we used to listen to I'm Too Sexy in Spanish at the pool hall. Right Said Fred. Let's get into the video games. It's going to be a very small video game segment.
What's your video game?
I got a review code for a game called Juicy Realm.
Juicy Realm.
Yes. Juicy Realm.
Welcome to my Juicy Realm.
No. No, it's not like...
No. It sounds like a horrible pickup line.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's like, boy, you're romantic.
Want to talk about Juicy Realms?
That should be the opener for the show. Hi, my name is Ben. Welcome to our Juicy Realm.
Yeah.
I think we'll workshop it. We'll workshop it.
Well, we've got to workshop it. Yeah, I mean, boy.
So Juicy Realm is a roguelike video game developed by independent Chinese studio Space Can Games, published by XDE Network. The story is this big seed lands from space, not unlike The Thing, by the way, but yeah, much cuter animal or monsters, quote unquote. But anyway, this thing lands on the planet. One of the characters is a botanist named Alpha. This seed lands and makes all fruit sentient, and they're angry. So you've got all these different fruits that are fighting against you. And they find guns and stuff, you know, and they do all sorts of...
Okay, so that's a different kind of Juicy Realm than I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah. It's completely G-rated. Well, with except for the guns, I guess.
With extreme violence. Yeah.
Extremely violent fruit. The characters are really well designed, you know, as far as, you know, fruit. I mean, it's like silly little fruit, you know, like there's one that's like a pomegranate. Once it dies, its seeds pop out and turn into little explosives that you got to make sure you don't run into, you know.
Yeah.
They've got blueberries, raspberries, and watermelons, and all sorts of lower level and boss level enemies that are all fruit monsters that you have to fight. It's a twin stick shooter like Robotron, if I were to say an arcade game.
Oh, right. Robotron. Yeah. Two joysticks. One's your mover. One's your shooter.
Correct. You start with four characters that are unlocked automatically. You choose one of those four characters. Essentially, the gameplay loop is you go through the four biomes, defeat the four boss monsters, you face the final boss monster, which is this snake that's guarding the seed, and then you can destroy the seed and turn all the fruit back into fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you destroy the seed.
Yeah, because, you know, people need their fiber.
Yeah, what are they going to eat if they can't eat fruit?
If the fruit are, like, sentient and trying to kill us, you know, it's... Oof.
Avocado is a fruit, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Because they do have avocados in there. The avocados are funny, too, because what they do is they're basically cut in half, avocados. They're pissed. They're little pits or bombs that they shoot out at you.
Yeah. No.
They just did such a good job with making all the fruit monsters. That was really cute. I sent you screenshots, right? So you see, like, it's very much like a Sunday morning cartoon kind of style, the funny papers, kind of the Sunday funny papers. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where it's like that kind of style.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I see. Yeah.
Tyreel Han and comic book artist, both longtime gamers. Bebo X did the artwork and the music. And the music is actually really good, too. It's very catchy. It's very arcadey feeling, the whole game. And this is the studio's first game for PCs and consoles. It won some awards at some indie play game festivals, but when it came out originally, it wasn't as diverse and it wasn't as balanced as people on Steam liked, so it didn't get great rankings. It originally was released in 2018, but the review code that I was provided by Team Critical Hit is the name of the PR firm. They invited me to have a review code for the PlayStation 5, which I thought I wasn't going to get, but it's not a PlayStation 5 level game. It's not right. Anything that requires a PlayStation 5 to enjoy. In fact, it was on sale and I bought it for my Mac. So I've been playing it both on the Mac and on the PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm.
Both play very well. It's very arcadey feeling. The version that I'm playing is like after they've had three updates and upgrades. So now they've upgraded the cast of characters, the number of weapons, and it seems like they've struck a good balance with this update. Whereas some people who reviewed it early on when it first came out compared it to some of the other roguelike games, and mm-hmm. it was kind of lacking in comparison. And this one has really unique weapons too. Each of your four characters that you start out with a base weapon for that character and a base power, which is their superpower. Like the one that I talked about, Alpha, who's the botanist, and he's got a little flower growing out of his head for some reason, his power, he throws down these little pea shooter animal things that will, for a limited amount of time, shoot in addition to yourself. As you go through the level, each time you defeat a boss, you get these seeds that you can use to buy new characters, unlock new weapons, and all those things. After you've played through the entire game, you use the seeds for that. And there, I think there are 12 different characters you can select now once you unlock them. The weapons, I think there are about 80 different weapons, and they are very strange weapons, some of them. And that's one of the things I compliment this game design for doing, is experimenting with some of them. They may not be balanced very well as far as all of them. There are going to be your favorite weapons that you use all the time if you can find them. But there's one that's like firecrackers. You don't throw firecrackers. It's like a chain of Chinese firecrackers where you just drop them.
Okay.
And then they're kind of on a fuse. So you just run around and leave them behind you. And then when the different fruit cross the path, they explode, right? But then there are also like laser guns and other melee weapons. There's one that's a stick of berries, which is weird because it's kind of a part melee weapon, part shooting weapon, because two berries pop out from the end.
Yeah.
As you play through each biome, a forest biome, a desert biome, an ice biome, a cave biome, and then you fight the big boss at the end of that. Each biome has one of two boss enemies that will appear that you fight at the end of that. They're kind of randomized. As you go through your little grid-like map, square to square, which is also randomly generated, there'll be rooms that you just fight enemies, but there will also be rooms where you can buy pets. You can rescue someone. You know, there'll be enemies that you have to fight when you rescue this person, but as a reward, you'll get something from them. There'll be weapon vendors. There'll be places where there are secrets. It's just a really kind of good mix of roguelite elements. So I enjoyed myself a lot with this. It's definitely worth checking out. And like I said, I bought it for the Mac on sale for $5. And for $5,
nice.
You can't beat it.
$5.
I mean, even the normal price of $10, I've gotten a good 20 plus hours out of it when I've been at the coffee shop and I should be editing the show.
You should be editing the show.
Yeah, I've been playing it for research.
It's $5. Less than the cost of a cup of coffee.
Less, or a tax return.
For less than the cost of a
I don't know if there's a necessity or if it's necessary to do how much per dollar, you know, like dollars per hour.
Oh, no, don't do that.
That's getting too far in the weeds. It's really fun. The characters are amazing as far as the character designs, really well done. Let me just quickly do the ups and downs, and then we can close the show.
Right.
Ups. It's got two-player co-op, so you can have two players play with each other. Play with each other? Mm-hmm. You can have two.
Then you got four sticks involved. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you have four sticks, four joysticks. No, actually.
Two players, four sticks.
No cups. So you can play local co-op, which is cool. The next up is amazingly goofy Sunday funny paper cartoon graphics with a wide variety of creative weapons. The next up is after clearing the game for the first time, so you go through the whole game, you unlock these difficulty modifier things that you can add to make the game more challenging. You don't have to, but when you do add these modifiers that make the game more challenging, like let's say, for example, one of the things that it would add is when you kill an enemy, they'll explode. So you have to stay away from them as they're dying. Or when they die, they leave a pool of poison. So, you know, there's that. Or enemies will go faster than normal or have more hit points than normal. I mean, those things, they unlock each time you try and go through it, they'll give you these modifiers. They do it three at a time, except at the last one where they give you another four. So if you know, the benefit of going through the game with these modifiers is you get more seeds. There's a multiplier associated with the many of the ones that you activate. So these modifiers that make it more difficult will give you more seeds, which means you don't have to play through it as many times to buy your weapons and unlock your characters. So, and then the three downs, no option for online co-op, which probably was out of the scope of the original game. It's an indie, right?
Right.
Another down is there some minor UI anomalies that do exist that make selecting one of the things you do in between levels and you can find in a level is these weapon modifiers that will give you added bonuses to your weapon, either improve the accuracy or improve the strength of the weapon or do certain debuffs for enemies, like slow them down or whatever. There are some problems that I've seen with both the Mac and the PlayStation 5 where sometimes it will noodle with the selection. So I haven't figured out exactly the steps to recreate it, but I've had that problem where it will skip over segments where you select things. So there are some minor bugs. Finally, it's not balanced weapon and character balance. I mean, there's clearly one character that is the best character. For me, I would have liked a little bit more balance of weapons, but it did pretty well, all things considered. So yeah. I definitely do recommend it. So if you like those types of games, if you like games similar to Hades, there wasn't really a story behind it other than just the premise, but I don't know if you need a deep story about your characters. I mean, it's funny papers,
right?
Stuff.
It's I've seen there's like some fan art out there, so I think there's enough to the characters that people are grabbing onto it and maybe creating their own little backstories.
And sometimes that's part of the thing is creating the world yourself, right? You just need the characters. That is all. So you're gonna go out and buy it right away, aren't you? No, you're probably
gonna buy it right away. For less than the cost of a cup of coffee.
Yep.
Save the children and enter a juicy realm.
Juicy. You know, we're talking about merch earlier, right?
Right.
Kind of going off the juicy couture thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe we should do a version that is a velour jumpsuit or tracksuit pants that have too vague on the butt cheeks. Maybe it's coming back. I mean, it's been 20 years.
It might come back.
You never know. I mean,
we'll see.
Yeah. Maybe T Public has the option for velour tracksuits.
I'll look into it. I'll look into it more. Like, I'll look into it. Somebody's got to be doing custom embroidery on velour tracksuits,
especially on the butt cheeks.
On the butt cheeks.
The best real estate.
It's the only place where it would make sense.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Down the pant leg? Who wants to read sideways? Not me.
No.
No.
No. No. You gotta twist your head, get that thing in your neck. Yeah.
Andrew, any final comments on the word or anything you want to say to close out the juice show?
Doing the word juice is giving me juice. I feel the creative juice is coming on, and I'm going to go design some velour tracksuit merch. I'm inspired.
Yeah. Maybe a nice pair that says Booger Bear on the butt cheeks.
Oh, Booger Bear. Yeah. That'll sell. Yeah, there's a market for that.
Booger Bear Brown.
I'm going to stick with the buttons for now, and then I'll branch out. I don't know. I might throw up a too vague a design to look. I haven't tried a too vague design on the T-Public. We can work out a licensing deal. We'll figure it out. Yeah. I'll make sure. I'll treat you right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, once I'm making more than like $253 a year doing this,
we'll talk royalties.
Yeah.
We'll talk royalties.
We'll talk royalties. Yeah, yeah. I'll get you 25 cents a t-shirt.
You know, my final words is, Vitamix. I don't know why all of a sudden I want to.
I want a smoothie now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I want a smoothie.
We're going to Jamba Juice.
I think I may get a smoothie afterwards here. I don't know how many smoothie places are open this late, but I'm going to do my best.
It's kind of pushing it. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for joining us, audience, on this week's episode of the Too Vague Podcast. My name is Ben.
My name's Andrew.
And we've been your hosts. Have a wonderful night. Bye.
Bye.